Good day, everybody. Welcome back into Mining Stock Daily. We're going to jump into more corporate updates with Perpetua Resources and two individuals, no stranger to the show. We have CEO Laurel Sayre and CFO Jess Largent. Ladies, welcome back to the podcast. Happy to have you back on.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
This project has been a tremendous amount of news. The last time we spoke to either one of you, you know, you were, let's put it blatant, you were in kind of that the grips of permitting hell at the time. And so, you know, that's what happens with the life cycle of a mine when you get into that permitting type of scenario. The news is, you know, important, but, you know, it's one of those things where it doesn't wow the market. However, you did put out news mid-December, right before Christmas. I guess Santa came early in the form of the Defense Department. They have granted Perpetua Resources the Critical Minerals Award of close to $25 million from the Defense Production Act. This is huge news, and I want to get into really how this came about, Laurel, if we can start with you, how this relationship with the Defense Department kind of gained traction, and then what was it that got the Stibnite project up and over that hurdle for the department to say, we need to really back this project?
Well, that's a great question, and I will answer as much as I can answer to sure. this, and then I'll let Jess jump in afterwards. But we were very thrilled to get this award. We applied for this opportunity working with the Department of Defense. But if you want to go back in history, you know that as we've been saying over the last several years, as part of our story of the Stibnite Gold Project, is that during World War II and the Korean War, the U.S. government did mine antimony and tungsten at this site. In fact, 90% of the antimony that they used during the war effort came from stibnite. So they were very well aware of what was there and what is here now still. And so that opportunity arose. The military have, of course, they are looking forward into being able to mitigate for supply chain issues. Antimony comes, right? The major suppliers are China, Russia, Tajikistan. And the military is looking to help solidify those supply chains and mine here. And so we were able to connect with that, and we were able to apply for this, and we were very thrilled to get this award. Jess, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I would just say, I think we get questions a lot. Why is antimony such a big piece of our story? When you look at our life of mine revenue, it's only 5%. But really, at the end of the day, the amount of antimony we can produce at Stibnite is not insignificant. And so we're talking 35% of annual U.S. demand. And if you look at the end use that's related to munitions, it's decades and decades worth of antimony trisulfide. So we are in the process of establishing a national strategic asset, essentially. And it's no secret that antimony has been on the critical minerals list. If you look at the money we received, it's under what's called the Defense Production Act Title III. And so the reason the purpose of that is really to ensure America has the resources, materials, and technologies needed for national security, and the programs dedicated to ensuring timely availability of that. And so we've, you know, built relationships, and people are aware that antimony comes from stibnite, given the history that Laurel mentioned. And we really outlined the case, you know, look at the markets, look at where our stock is. I could argue our stock should be three times where it is today, but it's not. And so this was a very exciting announcement. It's non-dilutive to our shareholders. It essentially doubled our cash position and will ensure we are fully funded through permitting, and not only through permitting, but we're starting to bring forward construction readiness activities that we would have otherwise waited until after permitting to do.
That was a follow-up question I had is, you know, if this cash needs to be allocated towards specific activities with the company and the project. And so it sounds like, I mean, not that it's, you know, an open pot of cash, but you're being strategic with it. But I mean, does the Defense Department have a reasonable hand in the direction of how that money is spent?
Yeah, without getting into too much specifics, I think essentially that money is specifically set aside to support us advancing permitting. Our environmental baseline monitoring and stuff that happens out at site on a regular basis, which supports permitting. And then, as I said, bringing forward construction readiness activities. And what I mean by that, it's actually starting to chip away some of that $1.3 billion CapEx. While small, we're starting to chip away at it by pulling forward the detailed engineering design for all of our year one construction activities, which is essentially building the road and the power line to site. So we will advance all of our detailed engineering there, any field studies needed to finalize those designs.
Laurel, is the U.S. government do you consider them a stakeholder in this project now?
Yes, they are. But the one thing that we acknowledge, and we have been very forward about in our press releases as we acknowledge this funding, is the fact that we are not shortcutting NEPA. You cannot shortcut the environmental process to permitting. And the DOD recognizes that, we recognize it, but the real good thing about this is that, and I'm sure you'll want to hear about this also, is that we are on the downhill side of our permitting cycle to get to our record of decision. So that's very important to acknowledge, because at the same time we were receiving this award, we were also in our supplemental draft EIS comment period and finalizing that finalized in mid-January, on January 10th, I believe it was. So it's the funding doesn't, they are a stakeholder, but it does not, acknowledge that we still have to finish this NEPA process.
Sure. And that absolutely makes sense. You know, from the market standpoint where I sit, something like this makes me feel like there's already a silent approval in a way, knowing that's a major portion of the federal government is backing this. Now, you know, it's not the BLM or the Forestry Service by any means. It's a totally different aspect of the federal government. But listen, we know that our country and the supply chains are changing quite drastically. So to have a large section of the federal government, such as the Department of Defense, showing such a strong backing of the project, that has to make your shareholders have a little sigh of relief, I guess you could say.
We sure hope so. I think your comments are spot on. We were very pleased with being able to get this award.
Very good. So let's talk about, you know, you did mention you're on that last half, if not even more of that, the worst of it's over type of trajectory with the permitting. You did have news. The headline was that the U.S. Forest Service comment period for Stibnite has closed. And so obviously it feels like there's going to be a little bit, you're going to have to address a few of those objections that were posed throughout that process. Has that started for you and the company? What are some of the things, general ideas that you have to answer? And what is the kind of the next timeline and deliverables for the Stibnite project in this permitting process over the next few weeks or months?
Sure. So a couple of things to, I think, highlight in this. When the supplemental draft EIS was opened up to the public in October, on the 28th of October, the Forest Service identified as the preferred alternative our mine plan, which is a very major milestone for our project to have the lead agency identify that. And then they will finalize that as they go through and we have the final EIS that comes out from them scrutinizing all of these comments that were in. So there were 19,000 comments submitted. The majority of those were in favor of our project, and that we're very pleased about that as well. But the Forest Service is required to look at each one of those, and they're still in that process and identify anything that needs to be addressed. So they haven't finalized that process yet, and so those points I can't bring forward, but I think that we feel confident that we address those in our mine plan, especially with them acknowledging that the mine plan would be their preferred alternative. The other highlight I would point out is that this was this comment period was slated to be 75 days, and that's exactly what it was. There were no extensions on it. The government met the timeline to keep it and hold it to 75 days. And I think that's important to acknowledge because of the federal agency, the Forest Service in particular, as the lead agency, recognized that that was enough for people to be able to comment. So that's significant. But the timing of this is we anticipate mid-year, maybe September, the Forest will put out their final EIS and draft record of decision, and that will identify our mine plan. That's where they will finalize the preferred alternative, and we anticipate that that will again be our mine plan since they put that out in the supplemental. So those are all very positive. That happens. We anticipate a final record of decision the end of 23. First quarter of 2024.
Okay. Some more grinding work to do throughout 2023. Mm-hmm. And my next question, I know this is going to be a very loaded question, and you will be politically correct when you answer this, but I'm just curious, you know, with this, kind of signal of approval and financing from Department of Defense, like, it doesn't go unnoticed that a lot of your peers of U.S. projects have been not only denied funding, but just denied approval and have been put on the back burner as far as where the permitting process leads them. A lot of people are kind of stuck in the mud. And, you know, I think we know what couple of projects I'm referring to. What makes Stibnite so different compared to your peers? Why Stibnite and why not these other projects that obviously are as critical to U.S. supply?
Well, I'm going to jump in here and then Jess, you can do cleanup, but I believe there are some major reasons. One is that we are not in a green field, right? We are in an abandoned mining site that is in desperate need of repair. And our project will provide those solutions and we will make the area better concurrently as we go along in the project, not at the end of the project, but as we move forward, we'll be able to make the water cleaner. We'll be able to, of course, fish passage, reconnect that at the beginning of the project for the salmon. I mean, those are very significant and very different from the other projects. We are also engaged in the communities right now. We have been since 2012. We have been engaged in the community, and of course, having 19,000 comments demonstrates that we have good, strong community support. Our elected officials have supported us. The governor came out and spoke in favor of the project and the work we're doing up there. Congressman Simpson in January came out and talked about the critical mineral that we are being antimony and how that will help with national security, and mentioned our project. So we have a lot of good, strong political support. I think that separates us from the others. And of course, this strategic mineral antimony for national security is definitely going to help us and sets us apart. So Jess, anything you want to throw in there?
I think you hit the high points with the abandoned brownfield site and the cleanup we'll do in the area. I think the other two I just add in is that we are, you know, 6+ years into the NEPA process. Mm-hmm. So I think there's confidence that the process has been followed and we are on the downhill side. I mean, we have a supplemental out that because of our improvements from the first one, the Forest Service made sure the public could see again, right? So every T is being crossed, every I is being dotted, and there's confidence in the process. So we're a lot closer and then further along and haven't been headlined and shut down, right? And then the other is there's 50 critical minerals, and lithium may be sexy front page headlines. But when you look at those 50 critical minerals, some are more critical than others. Some are almost entirely dependent on Russia and China. And there's no doubt, you know, the news in 22 and the invasion of Ukraine has strained our military supplies. So it's become only more critical.
This is really great news. Congratulations to you and all of the team. I do think this sets you up to the next catalyst for success through the rest of this permitting process. I look forward to catching up with both of you, you know, later in the year to see how this continues to develop. And, you know, it's a wonderful place, a great project. And the team, you know, throughout the inception of taking on Stibnite to get this thing cleaned up and back on track is really, you know, is a really unbelievable story, regardless of the $25 million from the Department of Defense. I think everybody's done a good job from day one. So thanks so much, Jess, Laurel. We'll talk to you again here in the future.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Good to see you.
That's your update from Perpetua Resources. They do trade on the NASDAQ in the U.S. and on the Toronto Stock Exchange with the symbol PPTA. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.